We want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merit Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
Good Friday to you, Brevard County. You have survived another week in beautiful Brevard County. We want to thank you for tuning in today to the Refresh Radio broadcast. 1 week from tonight, it's not tonight, but 1 week from tonight, we will be having our night of worship, all-night prayer meeting. That will start at 10 o'clock, and we will go through from 10 p.m. until 6 p.m. or 6 a.m., sorry, 10 p.m. to 6 a.m. On Good Friday. So we want to invite you out for that on Resurrection Sunday. We will be having a great day. There's going to be special gospel presentations for the kids. I'll be preaching an illustrated sermon for the adults. And we've got some food afterwards. But the main thing that we'd like to ask you to do is to partner with us in praying that there would be lives saved. You know, Merit Assembly of God, it's not just about me having a place to preach. That's of very little importance if people's lives are not getting saved, if people are not being transformed by the gospel of Jesus Christ. We are not a social club. We are a life transformation agency. And so we are very excited about the prospect of people having their lives transformed by the grace and the love of God. So we want to encourage you to come and be a part of our Resurrection Sunday services, April the 5th. Our service time starts at 10:30. Our Sunday school starts at 9:30. That Sunday night, we don't have a worship service because we give our families that evening off to celebrate the holiday with their family and loved ones. So I want to take you to Galatians chapter 5 today. Galatians chapter 5, we're going to be revisiting the topic we talked about on yesterday's program about flexibility and strength. And, you know, a little over a week ago, a major denomination, or at least the media calls it a major denomination. It's, not one of the largest ones, although there are some large ones that are following not too far behind in their footsteps, but had redefined marriage instead of the biblical definition of marriage. And, there's just an onslaught of people, pressure on the church to negotiate away our core values with the supposed promise that we would be more accepted in society. And, you know, I understand that line of thinking. I just don't happen to agree with it. In that, when I was a child, I was playing in the street. I was waiting for my paper route bundles to be delivered, and my brother and I decided that it would be entertaining if we just flipped cars or flipped rubber bands at cars, and then we'd run out in the street and get them when there were no cars. Well, all of a sudden, my mother showed up, and she reprimanded us. And you know, for years we thought that Mom and God had this special connection where she just knew everything that we were doing everywhere. Listen, when your mother shows up out of the blue and knows what you are doing when you aren't doing it right then, but knew what you had been doing, it will convince you that God speaks to mamas. And probably 25 years after that fact, maybe even 30 years after that fact, she finally said, yeah, there was a neighbor down the street, and they called me to tell me, you wouldn't believe what your sons are doing. But when she showed up and corrected us, we did not think that it was because she was being mean to us. She thought we knew she was intent on saving our life. And she was saying, don't play in the traffic. And, you know, I believe loving parents tell their kids, you know, what they need to avoid because they want their kids to live a long and happy life. I will say this, that, you know, my kids, have testified that, that there were times when and I didn't have a friend, that was calling me to tell me what the kids were doing. But, I do have a relationship with God, and God does know what everybody is doing. We, a little over a week ago in our Royal Ranger, program, the commander was sharing a story of a man who was driving through a city. This was back when they had payphones, and there was a payphone in the city. He didn't live in the city. He was just traveling. He just decided to park his car for just a moment and rest his legs and get out and stretch. And as he happened to be by this payphone, all of a sudden the payphone rang, and it was an operator. And the operator said, "Is this Mr. So-and-so?" And that was the man's name. And he said, "Well, yes." And he said, "Well, I have a phone call for you." And he said, "How is that possible? I'm just driving down the interstate here and just stopped." And there was a lady on the other end of the phone, and she had been suicidal. And God had spoken to her and said, "Call this number and ask for this man." And she said, "That's just really crazy." And so she called. And God knew exactly where that man was going to be, knew when he was going to want to stretch his legs, and knew that he was going to be able to minister to that person. And instead of a life being ended that day, a life was saved and a new believer was born, because God does know the things that we're going through. It is not unreasonable to expect that a holy God has a holy lifestyle. It is also not unreasonable to believe that people who do not understand the heart of God, do not know God, that they would have a different take on things. So, you know, I want you to know that I have no hostility towards people who don't believe the word of God. I have a great deal of compassion for them, and I want to share with them the words of truth. Do I believe that there is a price tag and a ramification? Do I believe that there are consequences whenever we disobey God? I do. I also believe that God doesn't want us to experience those consequences, and he wants us to be forgiven. So what happens a lot of times, and I talked to you on yesterday's broadcast about they built a skyscraper right on top of a fault line. And there is a belief that the devil has that if he will bring trouble our way, that our faith will be shaken and our faith will collapse, and that we will not be able to be a trophy of grace for anybody anymore. And so that's why when Job was in, when God said, "Have you considered my servant Job?" Satan's strategy was, well, just let a little bit of trouble come his way. Let's have some economic loss that come his way. Let's have some personal tragedy that comes his way. And I believe that when that happens, that his entire world is going to collapse, and his faith and confidence in you. See, the devil believes in his pain and agony to be of a greater force than what God's upholding love is. And Job did not renounce his faith, even when trouble came, even when loss came, financial loss and relational loss. He did not give up. It shook him, but it didn't bring down his building. And then Satan said, "Yeah, but if you'll let me touch his flesh, you know, skin for skin, he will curse you to your face." And I want you to know that those things trouble, financial loss, relational loss, personal sickness, those can all be extremely troubling, extremely shaky to our spiritual walk. They can be disturbing to our spirit. But I want you to know that God is able to sustain you. Paul went through even worse things than most people go through. And he said, I consider these light and momentary afflictions compared with the glory that God has laid up in store. So I want you to fix your eyes on Jesus and allow him to cause a heart of trust to be developed in you, to the point that you even when the world is shaking, what they found, because that skyscraper they built on that fault line, they had a massive earthquake. And even though the building shook some, the top of the building hardly moved at all. They had built such flexibility into the building, and they had built such strength into the building that even though buildings around them came crashing down, that building continued to stand even though it was considerably larger. In Galatians chapter 5, I want to share with you verse number 19. It says, but now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousy, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I told you in time past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Okay, so right there, those are non-negotiables for me, as they're not part, you know, those would disqualify a person, whether it's me, you, or anybody else. Those practices being implemented in my life or your life or anybody's life would prevent us from inheriting the kingdom of God. We could not be joint heirs with Jesus Christ and have those things going on in our life. And so those things are non-negotiables for me, because God. Now listen, that doesn't mean that if you have participated in those things in the past that you are disqualified from an inheritance. What it means is that you have the opportunity to have a change of lifestyle and a change of heart because of an encounter that you've had with Jesus Christ. I believe that fits of rage and outbursts of wrath, this people who sow strife and discord, it lists drunkenness in there. There's fornication, adultery, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, all sorts of things that are in there. People who are jealous and covetous of one another. Those things are all going to be disqualifying factors unless you ask Jesus to come and forgive you of those things. And then he says, I will take those things out. Remember, we started by saying that a sinkhole has to have something that is placed in it in order to take things out so that God can put in things that are going to stabilize and make that a productive life. Allow Jesus to come in and take out any sexual sin, any sexual sin. Allow God to, by his grace, come in and take out anything that displaces him from the preeminent place in your life. Allow God to come in and take out any spiritual influence that is not of God. Allow him to come in and take out hatred and put in love. Instead of contentions, there will be cooperation. Instead of jealousy or covetousness, there will be contentment with God as your provider. Instead of wrath, there he will put in peace. He will take out selfish ambitions and put in ambitions of servanthood. He will take out dissensions and give unity, heresies and replace it with truth, envy and replace it with blessing, murder and give it life. I actually know people who are, I don't know them personally. I've been in meetings with them where they had actually been convicted of murder, and God has now completely changed their life. Instead of drunkenness, there will be sobriety, and instead of trying to escape reality, there will be vanquishing reality. And instead of just being all about, you know, the next party or orgy or whatever, that people are all about the kingdom of God and seeing people saved and having a real reason to celebrate. Okay, so those are things that are not supposed to be part of the kingdom of God. Verse number 22 says, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law, and those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we walk in the Spirit, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another or envying one another." So, first of all, I will tell you this, that the flexibility that God intends to design into your life and my life that will cause us to be able to stand when everything around us is shaken, it is the fruit of abiding in the Spirit of God. Okay? What this passage tells us is if we are abiding in the Spirit, we are going to manifest the fruit that the Spirit will produce in our life. And so if you are analyzing your life and looking at it and you see things that in your life that are preceding this statement in Galatians chapter 5, more than you see those things that are presented after the statement, the fruit of the Spirit, what that tells you, what it tells the world, what it tells everybody is this. It's screaming at the top of the lungs. I have problems with people because I'm not spending enough time in the presence of the Holy Spirit of God. That's what it screams. So many times we want to look at people and point fingers and saying it's your fault and you did this and there may be some button pushers in your life and all of that sort of stuff. But what is really going on is whenever we start manifesting the dissension and the strife and the discord, is it is the Spirit of God crying out to the body of Christ and says, "You need me. You need me." Listen, we need the Holy Spirit because there's a scripture that says bad company corrupts good character. But I want to tell you this, when you keep company with the Spirit of God, it's going to have a positive effect on your character. That's really good. I like that. It says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love. It is going to be impossible for you to abide in the Holy Spirit of God and hate somebody. It says that it's impossible to say that you love God and yet you hate your brother. That's in 1 John. If we are abiding in the Holy Spirit, there is going to be an unconditional love for people. Listen, there are people who, because of our differences in beliefs, that they would want to kill me. If I presented this in a certain environment, I would be a marked man. And I want you to know my heart for them is that Jesus died for them on the cross. And I wouldn't want to kill them and them be forever trapped in their sins. I want them to experience the love of God, the forgiveness of God, because He brings stability to their world. The fruit of the Spirit is joy. Oh, wouldn't it be awesome if this weekend that Brevard County became known because the most joy-filled people in the county were born again believers of God who were abiding in the Spirit and were experiencing the joy. Listen, it says in the New Testament that Jesus endured the suffering of the cross for the joy that was set before Him. There is joy that is available for you. You should have a smile on your face more than you've got a frown. You should have a pep in your step more than your head bent over. There should be a greater quantity of time as a born-again believer where we are rejoicing. We are rejoicing because joy in His presence, there is fullness of joy. Let's go on. Peace. I believe that peace is an abiding, it is the fruit of the Spirit. It is the shalom of God, that there is soundness of life and that is available to us in every area, body, soul, spirit, financially, relationally. I believe that that all comes from abiding in the Holy Spirit of God. If you're not experiencing the flexibility, listen, peace with God can cause you to be able to survive a lot of things. Long suffering, okay? And here's where I really wanted to get with this. Forgiveness yesterday that we talked about on the program yesterday and what we're talking about today, and that is this. Long suffering with individuals. Because you know that you didn't, more than likely, you did not respond when you were just, 2 years old to the gospel. More than likely, you didn't respond the first time you heard the gospel. God was long suffering with you. And because of that, I tell people, that we need to continue to pray with faith, because if God expressed long suffering towards us and didn't wipe us out when we were trapped in our trespasses and sin, dead in our trespasses and sin, we need to be praying that God would have the same amount of long suffering, and we need to express the same kind of patience with them as well. Be patient with those around. Pray patiently. Have confidence in the abilities of the Spirit of God. Kindness, goodness, faithfulness. Oh, my word. I'm not going to be able to, I'm looking at the clock. I've got about 5.5 more minutes here or so of airtime. But if there was ever a quality that was needed in 2015, it is faithfulness. It is faithfulness. In the Old Testament, two passages, it says, to the faithful you show yourself faithful. One of the reasons I believe that this is a conviction, one of the reasons that I believe in 2015 is that there are so few people who are seeing and acknowledging God's faithfulness, is because there is a area of, there is so much prevailing unfaithfulness in our society that God can't reveal himself as faithful to unfaithful people. To the faithful, you show yourself faithful. That's, it's in 1 Samuel. And Psalm 1 Samuel 18, I believe it is, and Psalm 22. Faithful people who are faithful because they're abiding in the Spirit, they see the faithfulness of God everywhere. That's why some people go around and they're negative about everything, and there's some people who can go around and be positive about everything. It's because I know this, God's faithful to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. That is an absolute for me. I believe that God is committed or is keeping everything I've committed unto him against that day. Gentleness. Oh, we live in a society where brute force is recognized. But whenever you go in to have surgery, how many of you would like a surgeon that goes in there with a scalpel instead of a chainsaw? A surgeon that goes in there knowing exactly what needs to be done with a minimal amount of damage, so that he can restore functionality in life. I want that. You see, there is a mugger and a surgeon both may use a knife, but one of them uses it in brute force and hostility, and the other one does it in gentleness and love. I want you to know that God is a very precise surgeon. He knows the thoughts and intents of our hearts, and he wants to pull those things out of our life. I encourage you, abide in the Spirit, and he will allow you to experience his gentleness, but he will also cause you to bear, to be a gentle person with others around you. Did you know that it takes more strength to be gentle than it does to be a person of brute force? It takes more strength to be tender with someone than it does to be violent with them. Think about it. The last one is self-control. If we abide in the Spirit of God, we are going to be able to control our own self. Our own self. So many times we get our vision focused on controlling other people. I tell people, I am not a micromanager. I will tell you, I am blessed. I am blessed to pastor a marvelous church. We have people that they came together as a team and packed up all of those belongings for Ukraine. We were planning on taking the trip, and there was a team that came together and said, "Hey, we can take care of this. We can take care of this." I'm blessed to pastor stuff like a church where people operate and they say, "We can take care of this." There needs to be a tremendous amount of self-control. Instead of focusing and trying to control other people, where I was going was, I'm not a micromanager. I've got people who work for me, and they are very, very good at what they do. I've got an office manager who is superb. I've got a worship leader who is superb. I've got a kids ministry director who, whenever I'm trying to talk to kids, he interprets for me. I sit there and it's like, wow, he is really, really good at this. But when they know what they have got to do in order to get their job. And so I provide them direction. I communicate with them, but I don't try and micromanage. You know why? I've got enough problems keeping Bob under control. I don't have enough hands to be the puppet master over, everybody in Brevard County. But when we abide in the Spirit of God, we're not going to be so worried about controlling other people. We're going to say, you know what? I need to possess my vessel in self-control. If we live in the Spirit, let us walk in the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another, and that's the end of the chapter. Hallelujah. So this weekend, I want to encourage you to abide in the presence of God and allow Him to cause you to be long-suffering and forgiving towards other people and to possess your vessel as a vessel of honor. Be faithful to the house of God this week. If you haven't been to the house of God in a while, get there. If you've not read your Bible in a while, read it. If you haven't prayed in a while, I guarantee you God has not forgotten your name. Come visit us at Merit Assembly of God. I guarantee you that the roof will not fall in on your head. God is faithful. He's kept that roof up for 6 decades now. He's going to continue to do it. God, I pray that you'd give every person a weekend this weekend, Lord, where they abide in your presence and they manifest the love, the joy, the peace, the long-suffering, gentleness, kindness, goodness, and self-control that is available from you. In Jesus' name, we will see you Monday right here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merit Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510, 10:30 a.m. Remember Proverbs 11:25, "He who refreshes others will himself be refreshed."
Everybody I know says they need just one thing. What they really mean is they need just one thing more. And everybody seems to think they got it coming. Well, I know that I don't deserve it. Still, I want to love and serve you more and more. You're my one thing.